In a move that's sure to surprise some of his fans, the reclusive Bob Dylan has signed on to be the host of an hour-long weekly program on XM Satellite Radio. Starting in March, Mr. Dylan will play new music, mostly of his own choice, and offer commentary on music and other topics. Dylan is not the first celebrity to sign up for duty on satellite radio. In January, radio shock jock Howard Stern is poised to start his new program on Sirius, the other satellite radio channel. But is all this star power enough to boost the subscriber base of satellite radio toward the land of profit? We want to hear from you. If you subscribe to satellite radio, why, if not, could Howard Stern or Bob Dylan entice you to sign up? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, or send us an email, totn@npr.org. And joining us now is Frank Ahrens of The Washington Post. He covers media and entertainment, and he's in the Post studios here in town. Nice to have you back on the program, Frank.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for having me back.
How does Sirius or XM radio, how does satellite radio get stars like Bob Dylan, as we're seeing in TV ads, Snoop Dogg?
Well, if you're Sirius, you pay Howard Stern $500 million. I think that helps ease the transition a little.
Mm-hmm.
If you're XM, you have more of a critical mass of subscribers. XM has more than 5 million now. Sirius is behind at about 2 million. And Sirius is throwing some Hail Marys to try and catch up in subscriber base. They're hoping that Howard will bring 1 million or 2 million subscribers eventually. But they're really starting to develop individual personalities. I mean, Sirius is skewing a little bit younger. XM is skewing a little bit older. Not old, but, you know, maybe my age old, mid-40s, early mid-40s. And, you know, Dylan fits in their wheelhouse real nice.
Mm-hmm. I should note that there are two NPR channels on Sirius satellite radio, and they carry this program. Some of you may be listening to it on Sirius. Nice to know that I'm skewing younger.
And also, don't forget former NPR employee Bob Edwards has his own show on XM, which launched a public radio channel with him.
Mm-hmm, indeed, which is doing well. But the two channels together, 7 million listeners sounds like a lot, but they're not making money.
No, and in fact, neither one of them is expected to move into the black until late 06 or early 07. A satellite business is really expensive on the front end. I mean, satellites cost a lot of money. You have to buy rocket time from foreign countries typically. Sometimes they blow up and you have to do another one. But once you get it up and running, and they have some advertising, they had very little advertising to begin with, but once they hit 1 million subs, then they could get some more advertising on the non-music channels, then it can become a business.
But, you know, commercials, lack of, is one of the big selling points for satellite radio.
Right. On their music channels, the music channels are essentially commercial-free. The talk and generally about two-thirds of the channels on both of them are music channels, and the other third are talk, news, and sports, mostly from third-party providers like yourself, some originally programmed. Those have commercials.
Mm-hmm. And they carry an awful lot of programming.
Indeed. I mean, it's the music channels, each of the services are fairly comparable. I've owned, for disclosure, I've had XM since, I think, December 01, and I've spent some pretty significant time with Sirius. And the music channels stack up pretty well against each other. See, if you're a sports person, then Sirius is more for you because they have the NFL and NHL and NBA and so forth.
Well, except XM has Major League Baseball.
But if you're a baseball fan and a music fan, then XM is a better choice for you. Yes, XM got Major League Baseball last year, and it kind of sealed the deal with me because I was out of town, out of Washington for the summer, but was able to follow the Nationals for good and bad throughout the summer.
Well, you had a pretty good run until late September, so you can't complain about that.
Oh, yes, I can.
Okay. a real fan. Many subscribers get satellite radio service through special deals with automobile manufacturers. You go to one company and your car will come equipped with one satellite radio system or another.
Mm-hmm. The thing about both of these products, it's kind of like HDTV, which if you just write about it or hear about it, it's kind of hard to imagine what it looks like. But when you go over to a friend's house and you see an HD broadcast on an HDTV, you kind of really see what all the fuss is about. Same thing with satellite radio. You kind of have to experience it. It's what they call an evangelism product. It relies on people, I suppose, like me, who've had it and who simply don't listen to FM radio anymore. Except for NPR.
well, thank you for that.
Of course. There you go. It requires people experiencing it, and that's why it was such a big deal for both companies to sign all these agreements they have with different automakers to have it included in the car when it rolls out.
Let's get a caller on the line, 800-989-8255, if you'd like to join us. And Aaron is calling from Cornelius, North Carolina.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
Okay. You had asked the question about whether either Howard Stern or Bob Dylan would entice you to purchase one of these programs.
Mm-hmm.
And my thoughts on it, I am actually quite intrigued by Bob Dylan and the whole fact that he's kind of coming out into the public here with this. That might entice me to buy public or one of those radio programs, but Howard Stern, not at all.
Mm-hmm. the cost of this, Frank Ahrens, is not insubstantial, is it?
Right. They both run about $13 a month subscription fee, and then the initial hardware runs anywhere from about $50 to about $150. You should just note, by the way, if you're going to choose between XM or Sirius based on Howard Stern or Bob Dylan, you should know it's two very different propositions. Bob Dylan's going to do 1 hour a week. Howard Stern is going to do his show every day, and he's going to have a couple auxiliary channels with all sorts of Howard Stern content that I can't even begin to imagine or even talk about on a public airwave show.
And that makes me want to retch.
Aaron,
well, then you're listening to the right station.
There you go.
Exactly.
Aaron, I'll choose to read that in a positive way, Frank. Aaron, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
We're talking today about the satellite radio wars. Bob Dylan, the latest recruit. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Mark. Mark calling us from Louisville, Kentucky.
Yes, hi, Neil. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Good. We originally purchased the XM satellite radio in summer of 2003 when my wife and I were taking a trip across the United States to California and back just to kind of ease the burden of flipping from channel to channel, getting away from static and having to pop in a CD and all that. And we enjoyed it so much, it really made the miles fly by,
mm-hmm.
so to speak, and especially the comedy and the different variety on there. And then when we after our trip was over, we just kept it, and that's been 2 years now. And my taste on there ranges from XPR, which is the XM public radio,
right,
all the way to Shock Jocks Opie and Anthony.
Hmm.
I think will be the competition for Howard Stern on the XM. One other point I'd like to make is this morning, just on the way, I'm listening to broadcast radio. I heard that a commercial. Talking, announcer started out talking about some news, and all of a sudden it said, please insert 25 cents.
Oh, yeah, radio, you shouldn't have to pay for it. I've heard those ads.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's a campaign that's probably against satellite radio.
I think you may be right about that.
Yes, that's correct. A number of stations, at first they kind of poo-pooed satellite radio because they said, they're not going to get that many subscribers. Well, then XM got 2 million, then 3 million, then 5 million, probably 6 million soon, and Sirius started catching up. And you hear terrestrial radio stations here in Washington in their little tags every 15 minutes or so say things like WJFK free radio.
Mm-hmm. Mark, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you, Neil.
And appreciate it. I wonder, just in light of Mark's call, long-distance drivers, that seems to be who satellite radio was designed in mind for.
Specifically truckers, in fact. The first iteration of XM had a couple, and I think it still does have a couple of channels devoted directly to truck drivers who are, long-haul drivers. It's true. One of the best things about satellite radio is, in theory, you're never out of range because you're either underneath a bird, as they call it,
hmm.
or in a city with terrestrial repeaters. Now, the system is not perfect. XM satellites are in a geostationary orbit, and if you happen to be in a city that is not big enough for terrestrial repeaters but tall enough to have some 20-story semi-skyscrapers, then service can drop out for a few seconds at a time. Sirius's satellites move, but they change position in the sky throughout the day. So, for instance, when I had a Sirius boombox this summer, if I listened to it for several hours from morning to evening, I would have to move the antenna from one window of my house to another window of my house.
Yeah. I was also thinking about the previous caller's use of the phrase broadcast radio, and I guess we have to get used to that as a neologism, acoustic guitar.
Right. Yeah, it's... Now, the broadcasters are fighting back. The big thing that's coming soon, much like HDTV, is HD radio. And the idea is that the quality will be much higher. They always say that FM will sound, AM will sound like FM and FM will sound like a CD.
Mm-hmm.
But also additional side channels. So you may have DC 101 and then DC 101A and B that could have different kinds of content. Say you've got a rock station and DC 101A does all... oh, I don't know, old school rock or things like that. So that's the kind of their strategy to fight back.
And in satellite radio, is it being overtaken by an even newer technology? Is it no longer the next big thing compared to podcasting?
Yeah, it's interesting because at least one Infinity radio station has turned over many hours of their day to listener podcasts. So essentially, listeners are programming the station with their musical meanderings or personal ramblings. It's a bit anarchic, but then again, that's, you know, that's what this is all about, kind of a startup thing. I think that both terrestrial and satellite radio will continue to thrive, and I think for terrestrial radio, the key has to be local, because there are certain provisions in the satellite radio's FCC license that prohibit it from being incredibly hyper-local. The broadcasters fought and won for that, and they didn't want satellite radio to start selling ads in local cities to carve out their territory. So if they can, if the terrestrial broadcasters can really emphasize the local, that'll be their niche.
Local and one outstanding midday call-in radio program. Frank Ahrens, thanks very much.
Which has on colorful and delightful guests.
There you go. Frank Ahrens is the Washington Post business editor who also covers media and entertainment for the newspaper. He joined us from their studio there. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.